This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
And just like that, we're back on track. It's the beginning of hour two, our B block on this Tuesday night. It's our pre-Thanksgiving show. So please excuse our eating more than normal in Studio C on this Tuesday night. Tuesday night, Kat Carlson has the night off. She's actually traveling to family that she's going to be visiting with on Thursday. She's doing her Thanksgiving there. Along with us tonight for the ride is Doug Wilkie, who's in the kitchen right now. Marnie Ryer is right there. Al Perkins rounds out the cast. And me, I'm Clayton McKee. But really, the show is yours, the humble listener. We give this to you each and every week on Cube Talk America. By the way, we are the only show on this network, so if you're looking for something else, good luck to you. This is our B block where we do our headlines. So we're going to start with this story. Officials in Alabama County have a financial mess to wipe up after the sheriff's department mistakenly ordered 24,000 extra rolls of toilet paper. WAFTV reports that Marshall County Sheriff's Office mistakenly spent $22,000 on toilet paper and another $9,000 for 450 cases of trash bags. Now, that's a real big problem down there because its entire budget for janitorial supplies for the next year is only $15,000. County commissioners have negotiated a bill of more than $30,000 down by about half, but there's still another problem. Where the hell are they going to store all this stuff? While the sheriff's department isn't commenting, Commission Chairman James Hutchison says workers realized the mistake when a notice came in from the vendor. The newly elected sheriff, Phil Sims, says he will work with commissioners to address the problem. I guess if you're ordering stuff online, you have to really be careful what you click and how what your quantities are.
Right?
My gosh. Don't drink and prime. Amazon Prime there.
Hey, yeah. It's good advice.
Yes.
Thank you for adding the Amazon.
Sure. Mr. Wilkie?
Well, pot dispensaries are expecting higher sales on Weed Wednesday. You've heard of Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Giving Tuesday. Okay. Well, guess what?
Cyber Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday is supposed to be all about turkey, but Wednesday is apparently all about THC. Cannabis industry insiders are predicting a sales high as Do you love that? Yeah. As pot smokers stock up on supplies before the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, this makes so much sense.
Gotcha.
Sharon Shiravi, the director of customer communications at Ease, a company that delivers cannabis products in California. I still can't get over that you can have pot delivered. It's just crazy. Man. Expects to handle nearly double the deliveries of a typical Wednesday based on past results. Last year, Ease saw a 98% increase in deliveries on Green Wednesday compared to a compared to a typical Wednesday in 2017.
Wow.
Shiravi told the Huffington Post by email, "We expect this year's holiday week to have a similar spike too, especially since so many Americans are becoming more open to cannabis consumption, particularly in California since legalization in January. That spike comes with a risk of shortages, especially in states like Massachusetts, which on Tuesday will become the first state east of the Mississippi where pot is legal."
Wow. Okay.
Oh, that's, I didn't realize that.
Sam Barber of Cultivate, a dispensary in Leicester, told WCBTV, "It's possible that demand will initially outpace the supply. Obviously, there's an immense demand, and we've been preparing for a while to help meet this. But again, we can't make any guarantees about how long our supply will last." Some industry insiders say shortages and long lines at dispensaries are possible, even in states like California, where marijuana has been legally available since the first of the year. We're seeing shortages every day these days as interest continues to grow.
So are they? So obviously, I realize that Thursday is a holiday. So I'm wondering, does it spike every day before a holiday as we go through the year? Like, is July 3rd a real big one?
How much are you supposed to eat? Well, no, that'd be good for the fireworks.
October 30th?
The fireworks would be better.
Right. No. Like, is October 30th a good one, too?
No, Halloween would be better. Fun high.
I didn't say anything about it. I'm not seeing it.
Are you going to tell me that there's not going to be a good day, Al? Is there any one of those days that's not going to be good?
Clayton, you've got to hear this. Dennis Hunter of Cannacraft, a California-based brand of medical cannabis products, says he's seeing high sales in discreet cannabis products like edibles and soft gels that can be consumed under the radar at family functions. Thanksgiving is a mixed bag of emotions, and some customers are looking to cannabis for stress relief during the busy holiday, and others are in the giving spirit and looking to share products they love with their loved ones. But with great pot comes responsibility. There's risk that some people might overindulge, especially if they aren't used to being stoned. So start in a low dosage and go slow. Patience is key to enjoying cannabis and finding what's right for you. The real question is, with a rise in cannabis sales for Thanksgiving, will we see a decrease in leftovers?
That's fantastic.
That's a fair question. Yeah. Yeah. You fuckers are all coming to my house. Right. Hi, I need all my food. I want jerky leftovers.
I need leftovers, yes.
That can be very dangerous. Very dangerous.
On an related note, I did see, have you seen on NBC News this week, pot weddings? In California, of course, pot smokers that are getting married are smoking it like when they're doing their vows and having all their like family smoke.
You.
Yeah, it's a pot wedding.
So too. Much.
Yeah, exactly.
But why? Forgive me for not understanding.
No.
What's the point of that? Is there some sort of a
holistic? They love marijuana.
No, I'm just saying, is there some kind of a holistic belief within it that it creates a year, it does something.
It didn't look like it. It just
looked
just like
they're super calm that way.
They just
like,
want to celebrate. They wanted pot to be part of the celebration. No.
They didn't want cake left over. Yeah. Like, I don't
know. Yeah. No, I mean, it could be one where you don't want drunk people at the wedding. You know what I mean?
They
no.
ordered a Costco cake and they were like, we got to get rid of this.
One of my
stoned in a sugar high.
Yeah.
One of my favorite David Sedaris stories is when one of his sisters gets married. And they moved to North Carolina like midway through their childhood. And so one of them became like, you know, kind of born again and, you know, went on the wagon. And so told the family that they were going to have a non-alcoholic wedding because they didn't want to have one of those kind of weddings. And David Sedaris' mom goes, oh, you mean the kind where people have fun?
I'm not going to that wedding.
Nope. No, sir.
Is that the
great.
Kind you mean?
That.
So Jenny is saying that Santa Barbara County supervisors still have not licensed one shop to sell cannabis because depending on what state it is, sometimes it's city by city, sometimes it's county by county, whether or not they will.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but they're telling her to get her medical
because they have
license.
They don't have recreational places in Santa Barbara. So if she wants to purchase in the county of Santa Barbara, which is a very large county, that she has to go the medical route because they're not going to authorize.
Well, that's some bullshit.
Right, I mean, like Colorado.
But if the whole state says
no, but then you go. Who could? It's they can't arrest you, but what county or what city? Like in Colorado, it's city by city.
Yeah.
So Colorado Springs doesn't sell it, but whatever that little city is next door, Seven Springs.
All of your mail to. Pueblo.
No, I mean, but it's like Glendale, Peoria. You know what I mean? Like it's that small of a difference.
Wow. Al sure knows a lot about this topic in Colorado, doesn't he?
Probably from being a nurse.
Well, sure.
Travel enthusiast. I ask about that.
Because Al doesn't indulge in anything like that.
The funny thing was in Vegas, we never saw any. Like I never saw a dispensary, and supposedly it's the new big thing, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it.
Or smell
we were
it.
In casinos.
I've walked up and down the strip so many times over the years, and I'm like, it's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well,
when I was in San Francisco, I could smell it walking down the street.
When I went to Colorado years ago, when they first legalized in Colorado, I had to go to Charlie's in Denver, and I was like, holy crap, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, the other day here, outside of my friend's apartment complex, and he lives in one of those big new apartments. He's moving, but he lives in one of those big new apartment complexes. And so, like, you're standing in front of this glass wall, and, like, it was just coming down. I'm like, somebody is taking bong hits from hell up there. And it's just kind of funny with,
sitting vaping
and all that stuff. Like, there's no reason to have to smell it.
Oh, right.
Like, with vaping, none of it smells.
Well, and that's
edibles
what
and all that
Aaron
stuff.
Like, they had to have an in-service kind of thing because of the fact that middle schoolers.
Yeah, they call it oil.
Yeah, they're doing the vaping, and they have... they went through all of the things that look like that, so the kids could have. They have highlighters. They have a mouse. Like, so they have this. This isn't one. Obviously, I'd really suck at it if it was, but.
Maybe you need to be high.
Yeah, maybe. But you,
tune in next week.
It's something like this, and then it comes apart, or like where the little flash thing would go. Mm-hmm. That's where they can put the oil
put
in.
The stash.
Yeah.
So they're sitting in class.
Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it doesn't smell.
Right. Right. So they now that they know what to look for, the kids, Aaron said, yeah, you know, we had an in-service thing on that. And she said, I saw a couple of my kids just kind of want to swallow themselves.
Well, don't you think that all of a sudden you see a kid going...
No, because it's not like... It's like that, you know, like on the bottom of that where the wireless thing would go?
Yeah.
That's where apparently the thing is.
The vape pen is. So they're not... It's hidden in the mouse, right?
Right,
and they
right,
take
right.
it out and hit off it and put it back there so you don't see it.
Right. Mm. Yep.
All right.
I mean, just like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right.
We don't want
to. I don't know. I don't know.
And now when you go like at the patio at Charlie's the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's people smoking and then there's the vapors. And you're like, all right, people.
Right.
Mama knows.
Yeah. We know what's happening. Now.
Right. Well, speaking of people that are just actually really bitchy.
Oh.
Outside of this room?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by this.
Sally Field really is a bitch.
Oh, no. How the times have changed.
I know. Just this quickly.
Just last hour to this hour.
I know. Just this quickly.
God.
So there was a service. Exactly. This just in.
No.
Sally Field's a bitch.
Breaking Gidget news.
That's right. The flying nun is a cunt.
Nice. Wow.
That took a turn.
I wasn't ready for that. I'm sorry. Oh, God damn it.
Oh. Well, it's sad, but maybe true.
Whew.
Sally Field liked her. She really liked her, according to this waitress.
I forgot about that.
I forgot about that, too.
That actually wasn't her quote.
I know.
Which is very
Alan
interesting.
I've talked about
it.
Yeah,
really
like you like me right now.
At this moment,
yeah,
you like me.
You like me.
Or I can't deny the fact that you like
yeah.
me.
Yeah, but otherwise, it's just funny how it gets... Anyway, the person writing this is a server, and she says, I've waited on famous people before. I've served Hillary Clinton once at a fundraiser in Chappaqua. And then another time, I served Bill Clinton at a 9/11 event. Once I served the actor who played Palmer Cortland on All My Children. Do you remember him? I totally do, yeah. What he was doing at a Houlihan's, I'll never know. But the ascot he was wearing clashed with the decor of the room. I was once famously poked by Connie Chung while catering, and I gave her husband, Maury Povich, a cheese ball. I get to add to my list of celebs who have graced my station because the Flying Nun flew into the booth number 3 last week and knocked me over with her presence. Yes, Sally Field lowered her expectations and sat in my station. When I saw her name on the reservation book, I was excited about the possibility of finally meeting Carrie from Smokey and the Bandit.
That's Frog, right?
Frog, yeah, yes.
Yep. Once she said hello to me, I would only be 1 degree of separation from Burt Reynolds. Blech. At 10 minutes before showtime, Gidget herself showed up. At first, I thought it was weird that she was carrying both of her Oscars with her, but I decided that I would do the same thing if I had 2 of those bitches. I'd be wearing them as earrings, maybe. Anyway, she plopped them onto her table and then dug into her huge purse. She eventually pulled out 3 Emmy Awards and a Golden Globe and placed them around the table. I gingerly approached to take the order. Good evening. How are you tonight? She ignored me. Can I get you anything to drink? I asked. She looked at me with a hint of sweetness I saw in Steel Magnolias and snarled at me. Don't you know who I am? Yes, ma'am. You're Sally Field. That's 2-time Academy Award winner, Sally Field. And everybody knows what I drink. Go Google that shit and figure it out, you lazy bitch of a waiter. I was impressed that although we had only just met, she knew me oh so well.
You bitch of a waiter.
And bring me a bottle of Grey Goose for my friends here. She motioned to the awards with 6 glasses. I don't like to drink alone. A quick Google search revealed that Ms. Field's favorite drink was a double Johnny Walker Black with 4.5 ice cubes and a twist.
4.5
Mm-hmm. I went back to her table with her drink, the vodka, and 6 glasses. Is there anything else I can get for you right now? She fixed her eyes on me and tilted her head in the way that she did in Forrest Gump when she was talking to Tom Hanks. Yes, she said very softly. There is something else you can get. You can get the hell out of my fucking space, you Muppet-headed asshole. I backed away, tried to hold back the tears. I loved Sally Field since I was a little boy. I loved her in Soap Dish when she said, I look like Gloria fucking Swanson. I loved her in Sybil when she was crazy as a bedbug. And I even loved her in Boniva commercials when she was talking too much about bone density.
I believe your bones are brittle.
But now here she was in the flesh, and she was being horrible to me. How can someone seemingly be so nice be so mean? I avoided her table for the rest of the night because I figured if she needed anything, she would make sure her presence was known. At one point, she needed to go to the restroom. I told her where it was, and she looked at me like she was waiting for me to do something for her. Oh, please, don't make me go wipe your butt for you, I thought. She stared at me with glassy eyes. Yes, ma'am? I asked. Where's my seat filler? I'm sorry, what? My seat filler. Whenever I get up to go somewhere, someone is supposed to sit in my seat while I'm gone and keep it warm. Jesus fucking Christ. Get your ass out there and keep my goddamn seat warm, you lazy bitch of a waiter. Again, I was happy that she really did seem to know me so well. It's almost done. I went to her booth to keep her seat warm. While there, I touched all six of her awards. The Oscars really are heavier than you think, and the Emmys were beautiful. The Golden Globe looked a little cheap, but it was still impressive.
It really it does look like a door stopper.
I noticed that the bottle of Grey Goose was almost empty. She stumbled back to the booth and waved me out of the way. Finally, it was time to give her a check. I was so ready for the celebrity encounter to be a thing of the past. She gave me a $100 bill and told me to keep the change, meaning it was about an 8% tip. It was disappointing, but at that point, I just wanted Sally Field out of my life. I had given her so much over the years, and all she had given me in return was evil. I mean, I even sat through Punchline in 1988.
Oh, that was rough.
After she was gone, we all talked about how unlike her public persona she is, all that kindness she exhibits on Brothers and Sisters, which was just one of my all-time favorite shows, is truly just acting. I guess that's why she has 2 Oscars. Oh, well, thanks for bursting my bubble, Sally Field. I don't like you. I really don't like you. And now the truth. She did come in. She was very sweet. When I asked her what she'd like, she said, I'm so boring. Just a glass of Chardonnay. Thank you so much. Genuine, kind, warm, and just as nice as you'd hope. And she left me a 25% tip. But the version above was much more interesting to read, wasn't it? It was way more fun to write. So it was so funny when I saw that, and I thought, yeah, that's exactly the polar opposite of everything it was. So.
The first nice. Time I didn't feel it, oh. But this time I feel yeah. it. And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
I love that. I thought it was charming.
Yeah.
Very. That's awesome, Clayton.
How?
So don't eat romaine lettuce. I mean, just from...
Oh, yeah.
I was going to bring you a Caesar salad
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, right. And someone mentioned this. So the CDC and everybody from every corner of the world has just decided that this E. coli strain that's going on.
Don't back up over your coat because you just dropped it. But it's all
that this E. coli strain is just deadly. It's killing people.
Yeah,
I got it.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
His purse fell down, yeah. His coat. Just
it all
over
fell
there.
Apart. Her
purse, so many of the things.
Nobody's going into
it. There was some kind of gravy on my glasses. That's what I was trying to get away from.
Hang it on this door, because that's off.
There you go.
Okay, so.
God damn it, ow.
Useful. That's very useful.
It is always because of the gravy that got on my glasses. All right. So, which must be on my arm. Where is it?
Good night, Irene.
I don't know. Somewhere there's gravy, and it's getting on everything.
2018, the year the gravy killed Al Pearl.
You lazy bitch of a waitress.
I'm just telling you. Give
Jenny,
up
you cannot eat romaine lettuce, as Al is about to tell you.
The problem is the small farmers that are not using the pesticides and not doing all the crazy stuff, you could probably still eat it for them, but they have to... But they won't sell it. Nobody's going to sell it. Like, the market is going to sell it. They're taking it off all markets right now. 32 people, including 13 who've been hospitalized, have been infected with the outbreak strain in 11 states. One of the hospitalized people developed hemolytic uremic syndrome, a potentially life-threatening form of kidney failure. No deaths have been reported. People have become sick in California, Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Ohio,
everywhere.
And Wisconsin. Yeah. The Public Health Agency of Canada has identified an additional 18 people who have become sick of the same strain in Ontario and Quebec. The U.S. FDA also investigating. If you have any at home, just throw it away. I mean, If they're being so blunt with this, like, it's over, game's over, never eat it
Throw
again.
Throw out your lettuce.
The
FDA commissioner said Tuesday that it's frustrating that the FDA cannot tie the outbreak to a specific grower, but we have confidence that it's tied to romaine lettuce. Most of the romaine lettuce being harvested right now is coming from the California region, although there's some lettuce coming in from Mexico. But the one from earlier in the year that they got a hold, that they like got under control, was from Yuma in Arizona.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So, I mean, it's crazy that they took care of... There it is. So it's crazy that they took care of this one in the Yuma thing, and then it just went nationwide. Yeah. And now it's just everywhere, and it's all over the country.
Oh, they're going to find out that romaine is resistant to a bunch of shit, and it just all went bad.
Everything's resistant.
Yeah, it all went... Yeah.
And plus, you have all these crazy shit with pesticides...
Hey, meow.
And what you're going to use.
Temporarily located in further north Minnesota. Meow, cow, that's funny. And I like the aloha, because at first I thought you were going to say you were from Hawaii, but no, you're in further north Minnesota.
Fantastic.
I mean, a Caesar salad has just become a thing of the past. It's something you tell your children about, because you ain't never eaten one again.
And you love Caesar salad.
Oh, I do. I love it.
Yeah.
Everything.
I used to have a Caesar haircut.
Oh, very nice.
Unrelated.
So the other weird thing about the E. coli is that it came from uncooked or undercooked hamburger meat so long ago, and they got that under control because they changed the way they fed animals and the kind of things that they were using to feed, and they pretty much eliminated E. coli from, you know, burgers because it was a lower quality of meat and how you ground it and, like, just the different things that were in the preparation. But that it's now affecting, like, our green leafy vegetables. That's just really strange.
Wow.
It's a strange way for, you know, as Jeff Goldblum says, life finds a way.
Right?
E. coli's gonna get you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's after the vegans.
Huh? See? Gotta weed them out.
Bad. Sorry.
I get it.
Yeah,
I
couldn't play along.
That's okay. That's fair.
Well, moving on with a story of eating something else, an inmate fled a Georgia jail with the help of his mother, and then, for the hell of it, decided to go out for pancakes. News outlets report that 27-year-old Joshua Gullett and 54-year-old Kathy Lynn Pence were arrested Tuesday at an IHOP restaurant where they had met with his children. Gullett had slipped out a side door of the Heard County Jail hours earlier. Investigators then listened to a phone call that Gullett made to Pence about an escape. Sheriff's Office Sergeant Dan Boswell says it just so happened that during the same phone call, Pence, his mother, was pulled over for running a stop sign. So authorities had already identified her car, and they tracked her phone to a IHOP in the local city. Gullett had been slated for work release, and now he's charged with felony escape, and his mother is charged with aiding and abetting. Hope they enjoyed that breakfast.
I'm sure it was delicious.
I'm sure.
Are they the one with booze?
They didn't have mimosas, though.
Mm-hmm.
We've been.
I saw your post. Yes.
Medically necessary.
And you didn't call me, but I wouldn't have been awake anymore.
It was early,
Oh, yeah. It was a post-work catastrophe.
I saw that post, too.
The funny thing about that was supposed to be on the DL with, like, four people, but turns out so many people had a shitty night and were having the same plan that we ended up, like, being a whole section of the IHOP.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sir?
All right. Woman planning the world's biggest orgy reveals three rules revelers must follow.
Oh, good.
So, you're going to like her name. Sex party organizer Pearl Derriere.
I believe that's a stage name, pseudonym.
Is that your given name, dear?
From Denver.
Oh, nice.
Is openly polyamorous and lives with her boyfriend, Dan Patrick, but also visits her homemaker girlfriend, Tommy Tally.
Oh, boy.
An events planner is hoping to organize the world's largest orgy and smash a new record at the marathon sex party. Derriere, who stopped counting her sexual partners when she hit 100.
And we thank her for
Who hasn't stopped after you get through the triple
digits? She's only 21.
Oh my God!
She's aiming to have 1,000 people at the event, beating the Japanese record of 500. And the 29-year-old has some strict rules revelers must follow.
Wait, 29
or 21?
Oh, and the 29-year-old. Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe she's 29 now.
I'm sorry, I read this wrong. When she hit 100 at age 21, she stopped counting.
Still just as terrifying.
She's still fucking, but she's not counting anymore.
Oh, good.
Sorry. And the 29-year-old
is very important.
It's completely
I mean,
important.
My judgment level just...
I like that Al wanted immediate clarification on this issue.
Judge's rule.
Yeah. She's fucked a lot of people, okay?
Didn't get better or
here's,
worse.
Here's what it is. She's fucked a lot of people and stopped counting.
Yeah.
Okay. So at 29, she has some strict
rules. Fair description
rules.
Of the event
there
so
we
far.
Go. Brought you all up to speed for those playing the home game. Strict rules revelers must follow, including bringing a friend, wearing condoms, and ditching mobile phones. I think that's
well,
all right.
Sure, they don't want any unflattering pictures.
She's been inspired
out.
By attending numerous private sex parties. She's an advocate for the sex positive movement, which embraces safe and consensual sexual experimentation. People may think my life still makes me greedy for sex, but that isn't the case. But I did stop counting how many people I slept with once it hit over 100.
Yeah.
So this kind of does go on forever about sex positive in life. So I'm going to skip all that. But she's going to attend the mass. RG date and location of which remain a closely guarded secret. I wanted to get to the part where
you're going to be sponsored by bleach or some sort of cleaning agent.
Trojan.
Her partners who have shared a bed with her but have not had sex together are also happy for her to have casual liaisons with other people at orgies.
Oh.
Explaining her open relationship, she said she lost her virginity to a boy at 16 and had first group sex the following year.
Following day?
Yeah.
I was gonna say the following.
So, see, it's 10:15
now.
I'm going to skip a lot of this.
That was fun. This could be more fun.
I'm going to skip till I get to the other rules, though.
It's quite
she said,
right.
I get tested for STIs every 6 months and the results are always clear. I've always been safe. To make sure that people are accounted for and not hold on, sorry. She
can
wants
you imagine
to,
how proud her parents
yes,
are?
Yes, exactly. To make sure that people are accounted for and
the
not too
hairs.
Drunk and messy, we only let people into parties if they come with a friend or partner. That way, if someone passes out or makes people uncomfortable, we can alert whoever they came with. Being filmed,
it's the buddy system.
Yes, I hadn't thought of this. Being filmed is also a worry at orgies, so no one is allowed in with recording devices or mobile phones. We need a trusting environment for everyone to have fun. Oh, Clayton, here you go. Luckily, Pearl's mom.
I don't know about that.
Oh, Pearl's mom.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Is non-judgmental about her daughter's choice of career and is very close to her.
She said from her street corner when she works in downtown Denver.
She's at the house next door.
She's been less open with her dad, who thinks she's an ordinary events planner.
Not anymore.
I thought it was just a wine tasting.
Oh my goodness.
So many
you
corks.
Taste what?
Yeah.
The whole Derriere family must be up in arms.
Pearl, who goes to orgies once a month, is now hoping that the sexual extravaganza she's planning may lead to a sex-positive revolution.
Yep.
I'm not sure what will happen, but I just know I want to be part of something I consider historically monumental and sex to the sex-positive community. For the most part, our community's hidden. No one wants to be outed. I hope our event can change that and we can lead a sex-positive revolution.
I swear to God, if you go into a fucking car story, if your next story is a mechanophile, sexual, we're going to...
Talk about a car getting it in the derriere.
I'm going to sleep with every car on the lot.
The first 100 cars I fucked is stop counting.
Show me your probe.
The transmission orgy.
Oh, God.
Oh, be afraid. No, no, no. I'm not going to speak of those things.
I said nay, nay.
Nay, nay. I will not speak of those things. But I do think...
Here it comes.
Nah. I'm going in between these two stories because they both kind of make me laugh. But let's do this one. You know, when you're hard of hearing, shall we say, deaf.
Okay.
You may not realize that the gas... is heard by all.
Oh, no, that's fair.
If they can hear, you know,
that's
obviously.
A fair.
Or they can feel the vibration. Feel them anyway.
I went there too in my head.
Yeah,
feel the vibration.
You mark.
Yeah. So a teacher had to explain to her students that you know. Deaf students that people can hear farts. You know, like so as they're walking around in the store, thinking they're safe. Just rip one off. Maybe we need to realize from now on, are you ignorant or deaf? Because I'm not right. making them the same. It's just
sometimes you just let a silent but deadly rip and walk away. You know what I mean? Just keep walking.
Yeah, but or have you ever done that and you're like in the card aisle and no one's been in the card aisle the whole time? I'm speaking for a friend. Like that you told me the story. And then
you just gotta run.
All of a sudden, someone comes around the corner. You know that you can't get away from it.
No.
You can't. And those people might die, but you can't even warn them.
It's always the cabbage and egg salad people that do it.
For real. Yep. So the good news is that this happened early on, right? Early on in life. So Anna Truppiano is a first grade teacher at a school that serves deaf, hard of hearing, and hearing students from birth through eighth grade. In addition to teaching the usual subjects, Truppiano is charged with helping her students thrive in a society that doesn't do enough to cater to the needs of folks that are hard of hearing. Recently, Truppiano had to teach her students about a rather personal topic, the passing of gas in public. A six-year-old child farted so loud in class that some of their classmates began to laugh. The child was surprised by their reaction because they didn't know farts made a sound. Fair point.
Yeah.
If a tree falls in the forest,
you don't know what you don't know.
That's right. This created a wonderful and funny teaching moment for Truppiano, and she shared the conversation on Facebook. And said, "Today in first grade, one of my deaf students farted loudly in class, and other students turned to look at him. The following is a snippet of a 15-minute conversation that happened entirely in American Sign Language among the group of deaf students and the teacher. Kid 1, why are they looking at me? Teacher, because they heard you fart. Kid, what do you mean? Hearing people can hear farts. The kid, totally horrified. Wait, they can hear all farts? Well, no, she said. Not all farts, but some of them.
But yes. The ones that lift you off the chair. Right.
And vibrate.
The ones that, reverberate, you know. So then kid 3 chimes in and says, well, how do you know which farts they can hear and which farts they can't?
Oh, my God.
In fairness, even that's hearing people fair, have trouble that, with this
that's,
one.
That's fair true. Question. And she said, well, you know how sometimes you can feel your butt move when you fart?
Wow.
I don't a know lot if I can take those, much more of this.
A lot of those they can hear. But if your butt doesn't move, it's more likely they didn't hear it. Kid number 1. Tell them to stop listening to my farts. That's not nice. 6 years old. That's funny.
What a wonderful time to be alive.
I know, right? Hearing kids can't stop hearing farts. It just happens. Well, I will just stop farting then.
No, you won't.
Everyone farts. It's healthy, she said. You can't stop. Wait, everyone? Even my mom? Yep. My dad? Yep. You? Yep. They all laugh. All the kids are just hysterical. So you can hear and smell all the farts? Some of the farts, yes. Not all of them. Can hearing people see farts? Because apparently now
there's
you can
a couple
hear
that
them.
Smell so bad you swear you can
you
see them.
Yeah, they're like,
your eyes are watering.
There's an obvious gas. Visible to the naked
your eyes are watering.
Yeah, and kid number 3.
That's a real barn burner.
Kid number 3 says, yeah, green smoke comes out of their butt. I saw it on TV. The teacher said that doesn't happen in real life. Kid number 1, what? Oh, I don't understand farts. She said, I went to college for 8 years to have these conversations.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was just so cute.
That
you
is
know,
cute.
She probably just missed that day of instruction when they went over. Like,
right. Yeah.
Primary education.
Oh, crazy.
Right. She says, while the discussion with the students was funny, it points out, like, with, and Clayton is familiar with Andrew, right?
Yes.
And
beyond him now, sure. I know so many more.
Absolutely. But initially, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So even more during a time when less was understood, mm-hmm. like, and less accepting, kind of, and all of that. And so she said it started with farts, but the real issue is that many of my students aren't able to learn about these things at home or from their peers because they don't have the same linguistic access.
And in some cases, they also come from deaf parents.
Correct.
Yep. If it's a genetic thing, they're not taught because they're
CODA. If anyone's ever heard of CODA, children of deaf adults. That's why. So if you ever hear someone say my parents are CODA, they may be hearing, but they're children of deaf adults.
No.
So many of my students don't have families who can sign well enough to explain so many things, and so that's incredibly isolating. She hopes the funny story about bodily functions will inspire others. Right. Bullshit.
Yeah.
She hopes that the funny story about bodily functions will inspire others to become more involved with the deaf community by learning sign. And, seeing a world where everybody can just talk about their farts, I guess.
And this came up.
A step forward.
Oh, my gosh.
The Walking Dead introduced a deaf character and a hard of hearing character that are signing to each other.
Okay.
And then they came on The Talking Dead, which is the talk show afterwards where you talk about your feelings about The Walking Dead. And there was something there where the one woman was saying, it's a level of communication. Like, I can have conversations with people. Like, you can teach them a little bit of sign,
right,
but it's very limited. Whereas this person signs, her mother is deaf, she is hard of hearing. It's a full, we can have a full conversation, mm-hmm, and I need my translators over there because there's stuff that I'm going to say that's just not going to come across. And it was one of those things where you don't think of it in terms of living your whole life with everybody speaking broken English, and like you want to have an in-depth conversation about something subtle, and like no one knows
it's
the words.
Not
going
to do
it. Not going to translate at all. Yeah.
So I mean, that's a funny fucking thing.
I thought that was just really cute because then you're 6 years old, and what a funny age anyway. Kids are laughing about the different bodily functions, and it's goofy,
and it's kind of how you have to find out. You find out most of the stuff from peers and from it happening. I like that kind of stuff. So we have a very valuable Tuesday lesson to learn.
I love that.
So we changed headlines because this is updated as of today at 11:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's just happened.
Couple hours
this
ago.
Is 30 minutes old.
Oh, 30 minutes. Oh, you're right.
So do not watch the election results on election day because no one fucking knows who won on election day. Because this one particular... race in Utah has now changed winners twice.
Wow.
So on the morning after the election, Donald Trump called out Mia Love for not showing him any love.
No love.
Wow. Oh God, I hope she fucking wins.
Because she lost her, she's a Republican.
I hope she loses.
Yeah. Well, luckily, there's a lot of turns to this.
Why?
So, on the night of and the morning after, she was down as having lost
her.
Obama.
Oh, my God. How perfect.
She was the first black Republican woman elected to Congress in 2015. And she was running against
as rare as a unicorn.
Yes. Salt County County Mayor, Ben McAdams, that day. Well, then... the next week on Pod Save America and other political nerdcasts and all the stuff that I listened to, the vote had been turned around and she won.
Okay.
And I don't know if he conceded, but everyone was declaring her the winner and they were taking away that seat from the Democrats. Well, it's official as of
30 minutes ago
that she lost.
Oh, wow. Trump's head's going to explode saying it's all rigged.
So that adds to the majority. So whether or not... there are, because as we came on the air, there were two seats undecided, and I think this was one of them.
Wow.
So I think this brings the Democrats to 39 seats that they won. But this is by a very small margin. But there just is no point, because California didn't know who won any of those races. They were still counting.
Arizona went a
week to find out who won, and it was over a week to find out that Katie Hobbs finally got declared.
Right.
And looked like she was losing.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time, and then she wins.
And I'm like, oh, my God, can we please get this right?
Yeah.
So,
or at least get this, like...
But I like that it takes a long time. I think that's more accurate.
But there's just no reason to watch the news that night.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's nothing coming up.
Right. But we'll never stop doing it.
No.
But did you see the post that I made with regards to... somebody said, a few weeks ago, 1 billion lottery tickets were all sold across America, and within seconds of the drawing, they knew exactly what city, state, store,
right,
kiosk it all came out of.
Yeah.
Why the fuck don't we get our shit together?
Yeah. Well,
I agree.
It drives me crazy, like that whole Broward County thing with their screwed up ballot,
right?
But this is the thing.
Oh, but she resigned too.
This just drives me crazy. We went through that in 2000 with Gore, and they're still doing 18
years later, we still don't have it.
Uh-huh. Like, shouldn't right now?
Well, they're not
right this second.
They're not dangling chads anymore.
They don't do the chads anymore.
I know, but the ballot, the screwed up,
and there are standards.
They put the senator down in the low way, you know, thing. Why aren't they changing that right now? Like, why don't they stop every single thing that's happening in Broward County right now
and fix that?
And fucking fix that.
Well, it was already a federal recommendation given to them.
Right.
Whoever fucked up designing the ballot needs to be fired.
That butterfly ballot. And they're still fucking using it. Like, what is
crazy people?
2000 wasn't enough to figure that shit out. That just mystified me.
Well, they've kept Republicans in control of the House
and
Secretary of the State role.
Yeah. So that's it.
What else are you going to get? But they're not going to be like, well, hey, we won an election that way once.
Are we changing
it? Well, now that they've pissed off Stacey Abrams so much, that woman is coming out with a vengeance. And Georgia is going to be very different, I believe, next time, because she's going to push through, I feel. I mean, yes, dumbass is still the governor. He's no longer Secretary of State. Is that right? Secretary of State?
Yeah.
Because he resigned from that because he had to, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I can't remember if he was replaced by a Democrat or a Republican.
I think it was. I maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he was replaced by a Democratic Secretary of State in Georgia. But I anticipate that there's going to be some house cleaning done down there, and they're going to, in the next election they have, they're going to
have. Well, she started that organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she's been working on for 2 years, right?
Yeah. So I thought it had to be the other party for what, and I only say that because of Napolitano and what's her cunt? Brewer.
Brewer?
Because Brewer's the one that took over for Napolitano.
Yeah.
Right, but that's because she was pulled out of here by Obama.
Right,
but she was governor, and then Brewer was lieutenant governor.
No, we don't have Secretary of State. And that's not the same in every state.
Yeah,
some states have lieutenant governors.
Okay,
yeah,
that's right. I was thinking that that's why she had filled in that post, and it was, but not because it was a chosen them running together kind of thing.
What are you? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Republican, Democrat. I was thinking that.
Oh, that they ran together. Yeah. No, they don't.
That they were picked together.
That's a good. That's a reason to have a lieutenant governor.
Yeah,
but we don't because it's cheaper.
Oh, okay.
To not have one.
Got it.
More useless trivia. We're one of only three states that doesn't have a governor's mansion.
Okay. moving along, we'll do our last headline, and then I'll show you how we're going to get into entertainment. So Al, you get ready for your entertainment stuff. The surprisingly powerful winter storm that swept across Pennsylvania brought some surprising sights with it, including a camel stranded along a snowy roadway.
What?
Motorists traveling about 40 miles or 64 kilometers north of Philadelphia started tweeting about a camel and posted videos on social media of the animal. An organization called Jewish Philly says it was their camel named Einstein. He was on his way to the group's event at Philadelphia's Kimmel Center when the vehicle he was traveling in got stuck in the snow. Jewish Philly later tweeted, Einstein's handler decided it was best for the camel to head home after his snow adventures, so he returned to the Peaceable Kingdom petting zoo, and all was well with the world after that.
Oh my God. That's fantastic.
Since we're running a little late, what I'm going to do is we're going to do a fake break because I need to actually play it so I can edit the show. So we're going to do your teaser, do a break, and come right back. We're not going to do a music break. So let's do this.
Entertainment! Okay, pie! We're just going to talk about a couple things. Blackish did its 100th episode, and it was super funny.
Funny.
Movie that's out in the theaters. Oh, and I had a headline that I forgot to read.
No.
I forgot I was prepared with something. And there's not much else because we're kind of in a dry spot waiting for the awards season to start. The Independent Spirit Awards came out, but
meh.
We'll just go over like one part of that.
Gotcha. So what we're going to do here, we're going to come right back in like 15 seconds with the third part of the show.
What a fucking disguise this is.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.